702.
World of Work.
Deshan Besta, founder of GoPeak International, is our guest as we try to understand about corporate social investment projects. And these are projects that are somehow external to companies, and they are not supposed to be business driven as far as generating profit is concerned. And their purpose mainly is to help others as corporate citizens in the country to see where companies can assist, lend a hand, and somehow uplift and give a facelift to a community and entity that is somehow stricken by circumstances that are unfortunate. But who does it really benefit? Does it benefit the company more, or does it benefit the community more? Various companies would then align themselves with a certain theme. Some companies will then say our CSI projects are only about education and nothing else. Others will say about the elderly and so on. But, you know, this is very important. Some companies, I don't think every single company has got a CSI project, but we get to see them more around about Mandela Day and so on. And how do you strike a balance between helping and also branding yourself prominently? Deshan, thanks for joining us for this somehow nuanced discussion. Really appreciate it. Welcome to 702.
Thank you so much, and good morning to your listeners as well.
I was a bit skeptical at the in my intro, and I'm sure you can break that skepticism with a hammer of reality and well-intentioned means for various companies. But you know, Deshan, some people would say that CSI projects seem to mostly benefit companies because it'd be branding than they are about genuine philanthropy. What's your take?
You know, I have a very balanced take on that assertion. I think companies are basically exist for profit, because without a profitable enterprise, it's impossible to create jobs, to create value to society. And so for me, the concept of corporate citizenship is really what we must focus on. And, you know, corporate citizenship for me is such a lovely term, because it means to me that a corporate is not just there to make that profit, but they do understand and value the contribution they can make to society. So I want to maybe not put a hammer on your skepticism, yeah, but just to bring a bit of balance and a sense of reality of what businesses really are there for, and how privileged we are when businesses actually take some of their funds and plow it back into community.
Sure. And maybe let's take a few steps back in that case then to determine who gets to decide on the drafting and on the actual CSI policy, and how often are these revised to meet society's needs?
Yeah, I think CSI in South Africa has come a very long way. There was a time when CSI was just kind of like, let's throw money at things, and usually those things were sort of short-lived and temporary. But I think what I've noticed over the last 20 years at least is that there's been a huge influx of thinking and policy around strategically aligning a community projects or whatever community organizations are out there with the corporates strategic outlook. So what you can find is, as you said in your introduction, that some companies would say we just do education. Some companies would say we do sport for development. I myself am involved in a few NGOs that are sport for development focused, but I have spent time in the CSI space where education was a focus, and I've seen, you know, other projects as well that have made a huge impact on community. Even you mentioned painting a school, putting down new grass, all those things really, really matter. Perhaps not for 100 years, but for the time that it is being done, it matters to the recipients themselves.
Indeed, and it does, and it shouldn't be that one is looking the gift horse in the mouth, but and the policy, I suppose, in this instance, Deshan, would be for the company to identify the society that they'd like to serve, and look at the needs. So I suspect the needs have got more to do with the policy than the other way around.
Yes, I think it is important for business to not step outside of what they really stand for and what their purpose is. So if you're a tech company and you're going after sport for development, there must be a very important reason or a significant enough link between your brand and the thing you support. And I think for me, what I've noticed in the last few years is how organizations have become far more focused and clear about how they align their brand to whatever social responsibility is happening out there. Now, granted, we must admit and acknowledge to ourselves that the reason these corporate social responsibility budgets exist is because government has made a very strong assertion to organizations that they can benefit via BEE scores and tax write-offs if they take a percentage of their profit and plow it back into community. So I think from a governmental perspective, that is a really wonderful initiative. It's wonderful policy, and they continually look to see if organizations are actually ticking those boxes, because we can see here a very, very direct example of public-private partnership. And so for me, that PPP idea comes through in how some of the organizations, certainly the ones that I've been involved in, have really taken the baton, you know, and ran with it in terms of getting their budgets out to communities where it really matters. Now, in South Africa, we've got real great need. So it can feel sometimes like nothing is really happening on the ground. But I've got statistic after statistic that I can share with you to illustrate actually that things are happening, and perhaps it's on the onus of the company to then communicate what their brand has been involved in and the impact that it makes.
Deshan, I'm just thinking about the communities that are being served. Are they aware of their relationship with is a company that is doing CSI work in that particular community? And should more work go into that community to say that, fine, we appreciate you coming through, but you are saying that you are going to paint a school. Actually, our needs are more on children who go to school and who need some homework assistance afterwards. The money that you would have used for paint and labor and whatever else, we'd rather those discussions, I'm just trying to establish whether they happen more often than not, where we are not parachuting things into the community, but you rather have a discussion. In that way, you are also ensuring that there will be there's a sense of ownership by the community of whatever is being brought to them.
No, absolutely. And I want to acknowledge that there are indications that parachuting is happening. But I don't know if I can even mention some of the organizations personally been involved with. So for instance, Mercedes-Benz South Africa has a fantastic CSI program where they cover not only sport for development, they cover work readiness, they cover incubation for NGOs, they cover education itself through bursary programs and through programs where you go into the schools themselves and incentivize learning. I'm on the board of trustees for the Laurier Sport for Good Foundation, and Mercedes is very, very hands-on at a board level in terms of the decisions that get made, because obviously their brand is attached to the work that Laurier does. So they do have to have a space at the table, a voice at the table, and a strategic direction in terms of how that money is spent in community.
Sure.
So when Laurier goes into a community, partnering with local organizations that use sport for development, the focus really is on, can these young people become employable one day? Are they learning the life skills they need in order to cope at school? And we do all of that through sport, because Laurier is a sport for development organization. So that's a public-private partnership that I have personally seen work. Number one, because I am on the board of this organization, but number two, I've been in this organization for about 20 years on a voluntary level. And I have seen strategically how organizations like Mercedes-Benz and others, we've got JP Morgan, we've got Remgro, we've got a whole bunch of organizations that are actually putting their money where their mouth is.
I would like to know from you, please give us a call, 011-883-0702. It could be that you work in the CSI office of a company and you are drafting policy, CSI policy, and you've worked in various communities. What has been the reception like, and what is the impact of your generosity to those communities? And it could be that you are also on the receiving end of this transaction when you are an NPO, a community activist, and you have been trying right into various companies to say, come and assist us. We see that you have a presence in our community. Please help us. How has that worked out? Because also the need could just be much, as my guest Deshan Besta, the founder of GoPeak International, has said. Or it could be that you have received a cold shoulder, or you've been welcomed warmly to say, sure, we've received your letter. Come around the table. Let's talk about it. And it must also be said that there are elements of opportunism, not just from the side of companies, but from the side at times of bogus community activists as well, who may be trying to make a quick buck for themselves. And that can be a very sensitive issue to deal with. So feel free to give us a call on 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Alternatively, send a text message to 072-702-1702. And to that very same number, you can send a voice note as well, with your details and your commentary, and sharing your inputs on what we are talking about right now. That relationship between the receiver and between the recipient and the one who's giving is very, very, very important. What are your thoughts about companies in South Africa giving? Are they doing enough? Do you feel that they are creating a culture of dependency on them, or they are holding back? They're thrifty, they're holding back, they are not giving as much as they benefit. Those discussions, I think, are very, very critical. And let's have them. As I said, Deshan is my guest. Let's hear from you. Deshan, and I know I am touching on a very fragile issue when I raise that, but it's very important to speak about that. And I would like to know from you, how do you maintain that relationship also without creating a dependency syndrome? Because it should be that sustainability becomes central to that interaction.
I am so glad you brought that up, because there's a fine line between receiving from corporate and becoming completely dependent on it, so that if corporate withdraws the funds, then your community organization suffers. And again, this is something we've recognized over the years. And literally I've put programs in place where these grassroots organizations are actually supported in a non-financial way. And what I mean by that is teach them about governance, teach them about fundraising, especially fundraising away from the primary funds they get from you as an organization. Find the champions in that grassroots organization so that there's longevity and sustainability in case something happens where the primary funder has to pull out or change a strategic direction, because these kind of things happen all the time. I think, in my opinion, the worst thing a grassroots organization can do is say, oh, we've got funds from X organization, so we're okay. Because the minute you start to do that, you create dependency, and you also then give up the responsibility to build sustainability into your own organization. So my plea to organizations that are starting out of a need in a community is to, from day one, have a strategy where you actually have a multi-pronged approach to fundraising. It can be fundraising within the community, it can be raffles, it can be prizes, it can be all sorts of things that is outside of the scope of what the main funder gives you. It really helps to strengthen the organization from the get-go and create that kind of longevity and sustainability in the long run.
011-883-0702, 072-702-1702.
A good day, Thabo. I think we tend to confuse corporate social investment to corporate social responsibility, because corporate social investment is more about a return on investing on a certain project. It might not be directly return, but there should be a return, whereas corporate social responsibility is more about philanthropic. Thanks, David.
David, very, very interesting input. Deshan?
I actually love that delineation because he absolutely nails it. Responsibility is kind of more on the good nature and philanthropic philosophy of the funder, and investment is where you can actually calculate an ROI. So one of the ways to calculate ROIs for a corporate social investment is basically to have a look at the impact. So you do a MNE that's monitoring and evaluation of the projects that you support, the amount of money that's spent on it, the amount of lives that are impacted, how those lives are impacted. And if it's environmental, you want to do obviously environmental impact. So the idea is to be able to put data and numbers to the funds that have been invested in such an initiative. And in doing so, you can then report back, and based on that report, if it fits in with company strategic goals, you can say our return on investment is X because of Y. And so that investment, I'm so glad someone called in and made that clarification, because the corporate social investment is about ROI. And I just want to again reiterate that business is in business for profit and for shareholder value. So at the end of the day, if the shareholders are not happy that the money of the business is being spent well, and is spent making impact, then obviously that will impact on the business's profitability in the long run as well.
Elliot, you're calling us from Protea Glen. Good morning to you.
A very good morning to you.
Okay. Welcome. Yes, what's on your mind, Elliot?
Okay. I'm calling from Protea Glen. I just want to know which areas is ESI actually concentrating on, because we have found out that in Protea Glen, in particular, there's not much of CSI companies coming in and assist in our area. Every time when we are actually asking, the local stores and everyone, they always tell us to go to the head office, and we find the head office is not around here, it's far from Pretoria, and so on.
Sure. Elliot, thanks for that. I mean, just saying that how are communities benefiting from CSI projects identified? And you are saying that in Protea Glen, to be precise, you don't have a lot of companies coming through to offer any sort of help as far as social responsibility is concerned.
Correct.
Okay. I hope that you got that, Deshan.
I did, in fact. Thank you very much. I'm not that familiar with Protea Glen, but what I can say is that companies are attracted to proactivity. So the organizations that I've personally worked with, and that I've worked with through Laureus and EnduroCAD and others, is that if there's an initiative on the ground, and that initiative is very clear about what they're doing and why they're doing it, and they already have structures in place, and they've got, even if it's a small team of 3 or 4 people, but they have regularity. In other words, they can prove that there are meetings, that people come together to do a specific thing over a period of time and regularly, like once a week or once a month or whatever. It actually shows that there's already a structure in place, and organizations function across the lines of structures and processes. So they are attracted to that. So if you've got a community initiative, for instance, where you give let's say a meal to children in preschool, a nutritious meal, and there's already something in place, and you can prove that you do that regularly, that you do it specific days, and there's a reason why you exist. Purpose is so important with these things.
Sure.
If there's a reason you exist, because young children need nutrition in order to be able to learn well, and you give it at such and such a time, and it's also connected to maybe another thing, you know, their math results or a specific thing that has to do with their development. Organizations that already have an education budget for their CSI will be attracted to that. So they want to see that someone's already doing something. Now, that's a very tough one, because if you're starting on zero and you've got no resources, it's very difficult to prove that. But unfortunately, that is kind of the way the world works. Any startup will tell you the same thing.
Sure.
It's like you start with the resources you have, and you've got to be consistent, and you've got to prove it over time, so that by the time you actually go to an organization or corporate and you say, this is the initiative that we need funds for, you then have a track record and you can prove that this is not haphazard. It's not a thing that happens every once in a while. Mm. And we're not sort of just waiting for someone to come and save us, that you're actually actively doing something that's already on the ground. Sure. And it's already plugging into that need in your community. So organizations are attracted to action. Sure. And proactivity.
Let's go to Phil in Waterkloof. Phil, hi, welcome.
Hi, Thabo, and good morning to your learned guest. You know, let's take the discussion one level high. You know, the corporate social responsibilities or investment, as others prefer to take it, it is meant to deal with is there in the constitution, and it's meant to deal with certain rights, the green rights, the social, cultural, and economic rights of the host communities. Whenever you bring a foreign investors into the country, we want them to build a psychological contract. Their economic model or their business model should be linked into contributing to the relationships that that company has with the host communities. In other places, they build schools, they tired roads, they upskill local people, so that one day when they leave, they should not only be repatriating their profits, but they should leave the requisite the skills, so that the people can take over the people. It doesn't know the size of a business. Small businesses up to big businesses must apply the social corporate investment.
Yeah.
And it is meant to build that particular trust between trade. Thank you very much. And have a
really appreciate it. Really appreciate your input. Deshan, I don't know if you'd like to add on what Phil has said.
Yes, I think Phil is making a very good point. At the end of the day, you know, for business, it is about heart if the business is that way inclined, but it really is also about their brand. So, again, if your business brand has a specific niche or a specific target market for corporate social investment, and especially I know at the governmental level, there is a stipulation that businesses must on their scorecard, sure, indicate that they have such a strategy or a policy in their CSI initiative.
Certainly.
So it makes sense that, you know, I think for the long term, it really just makes sense for business to prove that they're not just in it for business.
Exactly.
Because people want to see that business care, right?
Sure, sure.
People want to see that business brings about social impact.
Certainly.
But for that reason, it is meant for both sides to be very intentional.
Yeah.
It's not just that business must come in and with a magic brush kind of sweep over society and everything will be okay.
Yes.
In my experience, if there's initiative on the ground and people are already doing things and they are looking for further funding to help them to scale it, then businesses are saying, oh, wait a minute, we can bring our brand alongside an initiative like that because it looks good for our brand, but it will also make impact in society.
Deshan, I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate it. You've given us food for thought, and I hope that we'll chat in the near future again about these very important issues, especially around corporate social investment. Deshan Besta, really appreciate it.